Welcome back, everybody. Isn't it great to be here and talk about these beautiful animals again?
Oh, Doris, it's great. I love our nature articles, our travel articles, and our food articles. And this is a nature article, so I'm thrilled to be here.
I also love all three of those categories, but this, I think, really strikes close to home because I do love this area of the world, and I do love these animals.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed talking about it yesterday and glad we get to be back again together to talk about it some more.
So what are we going to do today?
Well, today we're going to hear more about this special walk that Yvette and her husband got to go on with two wolves, Scrappy Dave and Flora, from yesterday. So let's hear about how that walk went.
In the wild, wolves only live 3 to 6 years. Their main territories are about 40 square miles, though they can range over more than 1,000 square miles. Their numbers in British Columbia woods have dropped by 30%, mostly because of hunting and loss of habitat. Wolves don't need to run. They aren't sled dogs. They're actually quite lazy, which in the wild is a survival tactic to conserve energy. Heading into the woods. With all this in mind, we headed for the woods. Crown federal land, actually. Scrappy Dave, Casey told us, is the whimsical wolf. He'll chase butterflies before he'll get aggressive. Flora is the leader, the alpha. And, well, she seems to have a thing for blue coats. We headed down a logging road and were hardly a few hundred yards along when suddenly Flora, all 60 pounds of her, trotted up to me and raised up on her hind legs. She was almost as tall as me as she leaned in, put her huge muddy paws on my shoulders, and sniffed my face. She was saying hello in wolf talk.
Oh man, that sounds like quite the experience. But first off, actually, they give us some really interesting information in general about wolves I hadn't heard of. Josh, had you ever heard of this?
Well, there were a few things in here that I had really not heard of as well. So one of the surprises to me was this idea about wolves having such a short lifespan. I did not realize that, actually, that
three to six years. Oh, that's not very long.
Not very long at all.
One thing I can tell you that they get lost to, my experience in Canada, unfortunately, it's getting a lot better now, but are cruel traps, T-R-A-P-S. And wolves will get caught in a trap, and they usually might lose a paw or have a damaged foot or whatever. And lots of traps now.
Do they still allow all the traps?
They are illegal, a lot of these.
Okay.
But, you know, it's like poaching or whatever.
Right.
If some people can get away with it, they'll still do it. So not only when is it hunting, like you think, with a gun or maybe a crossbow, it is also in a terrible,
cruel trap. That's terrible, isn't it? Really, yeah. That's cruel. They used to hunt animals for their pelts, for their skin, so they can make coats and things like that. But it's been very cruel the way they've done some of that.
Oftentimes, yeah. And in Canada, if we are going for animals for pelts, like Doris mentioned, it is way further up and way further north.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was also curious to read about their territories. I was surprised that they can range up to 1,000 square miles.
I know.
That's a long way.
They don't get lost. Wow. When this says they can range, what does that actually mean, to range?
So a range is connected to one of our vocabulary words here, habitat, right? So a range is an area that animals will live in, and usually when we speak of a range, we mean an area that they'll move around in, right?
So, well, yeah, and where they eat, you know.
Exactly.
They say they range, they go out and eat the grass or whatever they eat.
Exactly. There's an old song that say, home, home, on the range. So the range is the part of the area that ranchers will use in order to feed their cattle, right?
Right.
Well, and then next we see that the numbers of wolves in British Columbia have been dropping, in fact, by 30%, which that's a lot. And the reasons they give for that are hunting, which maybe that's where some of that those traps come in as well, and loss of habitat. What do we mean when we say loss of habitat, Lois?
Well, we mean, we have it in vocabulary focus. It means the natural environment in which an animal or plant initially lives. So nowadays we're told that a lot of wild animals are losing their habitat because we humans are encroaching on it. In other words, our towns, our cities, our recreational areas are becoming so huge that they're spreading, right? And what used to be a safe habitat for the wolves no longer is. There's too many humans there, or there's too much traffic going through, or too much activity.
Encroaching then means to go on something that belongs to somebody else and you go in there, right?
Right.
So we're kind of taking over what was their place before, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's a big problem, actually. And then another thing is farmers that have big farms, I know, like in Montana and other places, sometimes they'll have sheep and things like that, and the wolves might kill the sheep, so then they'll kill the wolves. And
right.
So it's one of those kind of things that it's hard to know how to handle it.
It is a difficult issue, but it's an important one to at least be aware of, right, mm-hmm. to educate ourselves on. Well, we also learned that wolves don't need to run. Another fact I didn't know. I always think of wolves as running. That's usually what you would see on a National Geographic or some kind of, you know, nature program. You'd see them running after their prey, but apparently that is not the common lifestyle for them, and in general, it says they're actually quite lazy. Although, for them, unlike humans, when we say lazy, that means, you know, we have kind of
laid back, right?
Yeah, when we say lazy, it's usually a negative thing when you're talking about a human. But here they're saying there's actually quite a good reason for the wolves to be lazy. What was that, Josh?
Well, they say here that it's a good survival tactic to conserve energy. Mm-hmm. So a tactic is a planned way of doing something. So if you have, like, an idea of how you want to go about something, best way to do it is by using your best tactics in order to complete a task. So here, they're talking about wolves conserving their energy as a tactic.
Right, and you know, I think oftentimes because of the movies, we see these sled dogs, and sometimes we're told they're half wolf. They might have wolf in them, but they're not half wolf, okay? And I think sometimes also, you know, in our experience, when we lived up in these northern parts of Canada, wolves would move, but usually when a helicopter or airplane was overhead and getting low, and that would be because we were doing an animal count or an animal health check or whatever, then the wolves start running because, once again, they're thinking there's a threat here, right? And you're flying down pretty low, so.
And I think this is a good distinction here that they make, comparing the wolves to the sled dogs. Like, sled dogs do literally have to run every single day, where wolves will only run when it's necessary, maybe to make it to a different part of the range or when they feel threatened.
Well, like even the bears in the winter, they have to sleep, they have to hibernate and so forth. So animals have these things to to keep their energy up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Wolves, North American wolves, actually remind me of African lions. They're very much the same in that they do love their rest.
Have you ever seen any African lions?
Yes, I have.
When did you see them?
But I saw them not in Africa.
Okay, in the zoo.
Yeah, or a habitat for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these guys actually got to see the wolves in their natural habitat and got to go on a walk with them. So let's go on to that next paragraph here. Heading into the woods, they got to go into the woods with these wolves. And it says that they headed into Crown Federal Land. Lois, you're from Canada. Can you explain to us what Crown Federal Land is?
Right. We still refer to it as Crown Land. I know they put federal in here because of the federal government. Crown Land was actually something that Canada had from the Queen or King at the time. It's still kind of considered, because Queen Elizabeth II is our figurehead, as her land. Okay? So what happens is you can have this Crown Land used for a lot of different things. sometimes there's an open period where they go, okay, folks, you can have this crown land. We'll eventually tax it, but you can have it, and you have to put up a building in so much time. So a lot of people in Canada did that and put up cottages and cabins and that sort of thing. But here, they're headed to crown land that's probably just beautiful open forest. Very free, lots of it.
It's like federal park.
Yeah, and but it's just, you wouldn't even have a park because it wouldn't even have roads or anything.
Some parks are just natural land, yeah, too. They're not developed, you know. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And it talks about this. They're different personalities. Now, some wolves do things that are more, it says whimsical. That's an interesting way to say that. I don't think about wolves as being whimsical.
I wouldn't normally think of wolves being whimsical, but obviously Scrappy Dave here is characterized as a whimsical wolf. So whimsical means sort of unusual, strange, and sort of like, you know,
artistic.
Sort of like a neat sort of, you never really quite know what they're going to do sort of way.
Why do they call him that then? Why? Because he chases butterflies?
Yeah. I thought that was such
I thought
great.
That was pretty cute. Yeah, that's pretty whimsical.
That is very whimsical.
For a wolf?
For a wolf, yeah.
That's kind of, what about the other wolf?
So the other wolf is Flora, and I thought this was interesting because I think frequently we hear about alpha males, mm-hmm. so male leaders, but Flora is the female wolf, and she apparently is the alpha, the leader dog. And she also has another little personality quirk that our author noticed, is that she has a thing, so she's attracted to blue coats.
I was thinking, is this a bright blue coat or is it a silvery blue coat? That's kind of cute.
Right.
And she noticed that she had a thing for blue coats because Flora approached her, says, when they were walking along, suddenly Flora, all 60 pounds of her, a big animal.
So if you go there, wear a blue coat if you want to.
There you go, if you want her to come up to you, right? That's right. Or don't if you don't
if you
want
don't,
her to.
Wear the blue, right.
And it says, she trotted up to her and raised up her hind legs and put all of her weight up against, you know, leaned up against Yvette and gave her, I guess, a little bit of a hello, a very up and personal hello.
Well, that's kind of a compliment in a way. You know, they trusted them.
Yeah, and were interested in them and wanted to know more about them. So it is a compliment in a way.
Right? I think I'd like that. Would you?
I would like this. I am very comfortable with large animals. I'm very comfortable with large dogs. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of large dogs who are in the 60-pound range and big, big, big animals. And I have to say, having one of those sort of like gentle giants come up and just be interested in you is a neat experience for me. But I could understand when that would not be for everyone.
Right. And actually, our sidebar gives us a nice little note about that. It says, if you're someone who is a little more concerned or nervous about having a big animal like that come and put its paws on you, they have a suggestion of how to safely show to the animal that you would like it not to put its paws on you. It says, if you don't want the wolf to come to you or jump up on you, hold your hands together and down in front of you to push him down and say stop. But it also says, yeah, exactly. But then what does it say not to do, Josh?
Well, it says don't spin away because they see that as a game, right? Mm-hmm. And they also say not to kneel down, obviously, because they're going to misinterpret that behavior.
So some really good notes, and it's nice to know that this center is really conscientious about talking to you about the body language you need to use in order to communicate what makes you comfortable and what will also prevent misunderstandings between you and the wolves that you're going to be walking with. So I think that's really important.
Okay, good. Well, some good advice there.
There certainly is. Well, let's hear about the last of their walk and see if they end with any other notes on, interesting notes on wolf populations in general.
Special moments. We walked farther, maybe half a mile, while Scrappy and Flora darted in and out of the woods, stopping to occasionally roll in the snow, dig for this or that, and just play. Then we all headed into the trees to a picturesque stream where the wolves splashed, drank, and otherwise had a great time. At this point, it was time for our wolf moment, which involved standing next to a tree stump while Scrappy came up from behind and did his best to lick us into oblivion. One could point out that this whole adventure was staged and quite artificial. But the purpose, Casey and Shelley said, is to let people know about programs that actively kill wolves, to explain their place in the environment. They keep other animals, such as elk, from overpopulating an area. And especially to let people know wolves don't have to be universally feared.
All right, so we got to hear a little bit more about the last of their walk. It sounds like it was quite an adventure. And then a few takeaways that they took from their experience. Lois, you want to tell us about some more of what they experienced?
Right, okay, we're walking maybe a half a mile, it says. Now, in Canada, they'll tell you how many kilometers you're doing.
Right.
While Scrappy and Flora darted in and out of the woods, stopping to occasionally roll in the snow, dig for this or that, and just play.
What does the word darted mean?
Well, darted, we often use that with traffic on the road.
Quick movement.
Yeah. Yeah. Back and forth, going between cars.
I think the motorcycles dart in and out the cars.
Oh, that's a great example, motorcycles, yeah.
But you notice that these animals like to sometimes roll in the snow. That reminds me so much of dogs. They're always wanting to roll in something like that.
They do sound like really playful animals, which is a nice, again, new way to think about them, because most of the time, many of us just think of them as these dark, scary animals. We don't think
standing there ready to devour something.
Well, yeah, there's been a few cartoon movies that have made us quite scared of wolves.
That's true. Wolves and other animals, too. That's true. Right. But they do sound kind of playful, don't they?
Yeah, they sound really fun. And it sounds like a beautiful area they were in. It says they headed into the trees to a picturesque stream. So this beautiful stream where the wolves splashed and drank. And they said just had a great time. So continuing with this really playful moment they're having.
Josh, wouldn't that be fun to watch the wolves doing all that?
That would be amazing, especially in this particular area. And I'm sure it is very picturesque, very beautiful natural wildlife.
You have so many, like, streams, brooks, creeks in this part of British Columbia. It's interesting, and I'm thinking the wolves probably like this. You always hear the sound of running water, and it is beautiful. So perhaps this is something that brings out that playful spirit in the wolves.
Well, we know that Lois really loves that area now, don't we? That's good. And it is a beautiful area. But, you know, they're talking about what they call their wolf moment, which means the most exciting part. Don't you think that's what that means?
Yeah, most exciting part or the most unique moment to be together with the wolves. And so, didn't know exactly what this was going to take, what form of.
Right, what's their wolf moment?
What's their wolf moment going to be? And it turns out it's Scrappy Dave coming up from behind and licking them to oblivion.
That's a lot of licking.
They licked me to death. That means, you know, without stopping, actually.
Right.
Oblivion, of course, means so you're just gone completely. But, you know, we often use that phrase, oh, they did this to death. He licked me to death or something like
and
that.
And it's just a way of overemphasizing how much it happens.
Right.
Yeah. Like when you're a kid, you might say to your mom, Mom, quit kissing me to oblivion.
Yeah. Or to death. Right?
But anyway, the idea was that this was quite exciting when this wolf came right up to them. And that's like he accepted them, don't you think?
Exactly. Like accepted them as maybe as one of the pack, one of their own, but also this idea of being so close.
Something to play with.
Exactly.
One of the toys.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a little, not chew toy, hopefully, right? But like a toy to enjoy and play with, right?
Friends, right?
Although they do point out that, you know, you could see this as a pretty staged and artificial experience, meaning it's not authentic maybe to the normal experience with a wild wolf, which is certainly true. You should not expect this to happen if you go to Yellowstone National Park or Banff. The wolves will not just come on up and start licking your face. No. That's not a natural experience. But, you know, it is a unique and special experience. And the purpose goes beyond just having an experience. They really want there to be some important takeaways from that experience.
I like how they tell us that they keep other animals, such as elk, from overpopulating an area. They also keep caribou, depending on what part of Western Canada you are in, stopping from population growth, overpopulating the area. And some of our listeners, if they want to know what an elk looks like, if you are visiting Canada and you're visiting this part of the area, you have some Canadian money on you. If you take out a 25-cent piece, or as Americans call it, a quarter, turn it over. One side will be the queen, and the other side is a caribou, but that looks very similar to an elk. So then you can just see for yourself if you don't get to see it in person.
Okay, so they are saying in particular that the wolf's connection with them is that they keep them from overrunning the area and adversely affecting the habitat there. So wolves have an important role in their ecosystem, and they want people to learn about that.
And this was something I was talking about yesterday, the idea of a keystone animal or a keystone predator, in this case, keeping populations in check. So one of the effects of having an elk or a caribou or a grazer population go out of control, like a large population, is that they'll strip all of the foliage and they'll actually cause for a famine in successive years, right? So having an appropriate amount of wolves in order to make sure that they're keeping that population into a manageable number is a very important part of having a healthy environment. And Lois, like you said, I hope people get a chance to see them in person as opposed to just on the coin, because
exactly.
Elk and caribou are also beautiful, beautiful creatures.
Oh, yes.
Very
sure.
Surprising how big they can be.
Exactly.
So you certainly wouldn't want thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them eating all of the new trees, for example.
But they are so beautiful.
Yeah.
If you're driving along those highways over there and in the United States as well as in Canada, and early in the morning, and you'll see them. They're standing there beside the road, and you can't believe it.
That's true.
The gorgeous thing about elk, too, like our article mentions, they're kind of a two-toned hide or coat, and you're so tempted to feel it because it just looks like a piece of carpet is on them. They're beautiful, like Doris has mentioned.
Well, if you are tempted now to go to Canada and start experiencing some of this nature for yourself, seeing the elk, seeing the beautiful woods and national parks, and in particular, if you're thinking about going to this refuge as one of your things to do, then check out our sidebar because it gives you some particulars about exactly, you know, what you're going to encounter there and prices.
And I just want to remind our listeners, those prices are in Canadian dollars, so that might make it a little more attractive right now.
Oh, well, they're used to that. You know, the dollar, wherever you are, you use the coins.
There you go. And I think it's a great idea to really, especially if you're visiting this area and you haven't had a lot of experience with seeing and interacting with this wildlife, to go to centers like this in order to get a chance to get, like, a hands-on experience. I think it's going to be something that's very unique, something that you'll definitely remember for the rest of your life. But remember, if you're not in one of these centers, you should not be going up and trying to approach wildlife on your own. Even if they are something like elk or caribou, these are large animals where if they feel like they're in danger, they can do a lot of damage.
So we've talked quite a bit about these wolves and different things, but remember there's so many interesting places in the world that we can visit, and it's good to get the guidelines to know what it is, and you can plan to put them on your next trip sometimes when you're going someplace. If you're going to be going up to Canada anyway, say, well, maybe I'll check this out. So you could put them on a little list that you might do when you go there, or just know about it and tell your friends about it. But it's been fun talking about them.
It sure has. Lois, do you think you'll go the next time you're in the area?
Well, now that my son and his wife have moved to Calgary, I'm very tempted. In fact, I think we should go.
I think so. And take some pictures and we'll put them in the magazine. Okay?
And of course, if any of you have been to this place or have had any experiences with wolves, we would be so interested to hear about that. We love to see your questions, your comments, and especially to read if you've had similar experiences as the ones that we have read about.
I think it's important to mention here that if you're thinking about going to a place like this, they offer you a few more options than just walking out with the wolves. Because I know not everybody is going to be so interested in getting so close to wolves, right?
That is true. We forgot to mention that. So go ahead and take a look at that sidebar if you're really intensely interested in going. There's a few different options. They tell you how much it's going to cost. It is open year-round, so even if you're thinking about going later on in the summer out to Canada, it's still an option for you.
So just so you know, one of the other things that you can do in this type of experience is instead of going out and being right there with the wolves, you can walk around the enclosure with a guide where you're on the other side of the fence. The guide will still allow you to see the wolves, if it's possible, but also give you information about wolves and the environment that they're in, and it's also a little bit cheaper. So as we see here in the sidebar, it's actually quite substantially cheaper just to go out with a guide and talk about the wolves as opposed to going out all day and being with the animals and experiencing them like they did here in the article.
So lots of options for you if you do go out that way. Again, tell us if you do. Otherwise, we just thank you for joining us and going on a virtual walk, if you will, together with us. And we hope you join us tomorrow for our next interesting article. Goodbye.
Bye.